Hello and welcome. I am Aurora Ginger, and this show is Aurora's Frequencies. This show is going to be about raising your consciousness. My purpose is to introduce you to leading-edge teachers with stunning and pragmatic educational instruments to further raise your consciousness. We can redesign reality. These interviews will offer many types of opportunities to broaden and enhance our consciousness and beautify our life experiences. These accomplished individuals have raised their own consciousness to the point of sharing new and innovative tools and techniques for human growth and development. Today, we are blessed with the guest who is well-known in the consciousness community. Her name is Rebecca, a messenger. Rebecca is quite delightful, and her modes of teaching are fun, light, and really enthusiastic, and I know that you will enjoy her today. The subject today that she has chosen is intuition. And so I know that you will enjoy hearing her and being a part of this program. I really appreciate you being here, and thank you so much. And later, she will be joining us. Now I would like to speak to you about what I'll be doing on the show. I am doing this show for presenting toning. And every show I will, in the introduction part that I used for myself, I will be toning. In August of 1991, I was on a trip in Egypt doing a variety of things, sailing on a felucca, singing with the group, cruising the Nile, looking at the Sahara, enjoying the energy, going to many pyramids and temples. There is a temple called a step pyramid, Saqqara. This pyramid has a very large open courtyard. I was walking around looking, enjoying the energy and the people, and this courtyard had very large stone forms that looked like chairs. To me, I thought, well, this looks like the throne of a Ra. And I was walking around, singing, toning. I was standing in front of this one particular stone chair, and I distinctly heard, "Make a joyful noise unto the world." This is my joyful noise, and I'm making this joyful noise to you in the form of tones. These tones carry energy, and I will be doing a series of tones now, and I invite you to just lie down or sit back, close your eyes, relax, take in the energy that comes over these sounds, and enjoy yourself. Thank you. I'll be doing three, and there'll be a pause in between. Enjoy the bliss of this energy. Thank you.
Thank you.
bringing these energies in can be quite beneficial and rewarding. I've had a variety of responses of people who have really enjoyed receiving these energies. Sometimes the tones sound like there's more than one tone. These are overtones, and the energies travel across these tones. I make available personal sessions that I call Rainbow Light Energy Sessions. And for more information, you may check my profile and contact me through that. There is also a YouTube video that I have done on Tony, and that is also called Aurora's Frequencies, and it's 12-12-12. I invite you to listen and leave me a posting. I'm encouraging you to enjoy these tones in every way that you possibly can and spend time allowing the energies to come through you. Thank you. Next, we have Rebecca, a messenger, joining us, and I will be introducing her now.
Well, hello. Now, Rebecca is here with us, and I have mentioned some wonderful things about her already, and she's here live, and I want you to know she's an interesting, enthusiastic, invigorating, lovely, shining light from her heart, and I know that you're all going to enjoy her this afternoon. And Rebecca's going to be talking about intuition. We have spoken about intuition, but first I want to say something about Rebecca. She teaches a wide variety of classes. She has a fabulous new healing modality direct from Divine Mother. She teaches heart point technique. Rebecca is the best-selling author and self-development leader. She is internationally known as an EFT leader. And her book, 30 Angel Steps to Prosperity, has been translated into several languages. Today, her subject is intuition, and she is here now. So, all right, Rebecca, a messenger, let it rip.
Hey, Aurora, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I always love to talk about how we can develop our intuition, why we should develop it, who can develop it, all kind of reasons for developing intuition.
Why is it important to develop our intuition?
It's important to develop your intuition because, quite frankly, your intuition can save your life. There have been people, people about to get on airplanes have felt this really gut level of instinct not to, and later the plane crashed. And this is not to be confused with simple nerves, but if you've ever been walking down the street at night and you get this strange feeling and you feel like, oh, I should move into the light, you should always pay attention, especially, now here's something you may not have thought about, but when little children are abused, their intuition usually tells them not to be around that person, but the grown-up logic is already kicking in, and sometimes they're encouraged by, guess what, unaware adults. And so people start dulling their intuition, and it's part of my mission to help people reawaken their intuition.
Mm-hmm. How exciting. Well, who can awaken our intuition? How can we awaken our intuition and develop greater intuition?
Okay, well, that's two different questions, and we'll take them separately. First, who? Everyone can, I would almost say, reawaken, because we start to squash it as children, and we'll talk more about that in a little while, but who can awaken their intuition? Everyone who genuinely wants to. even if you consider yourself to be completely logical and left-brained, you can reawaken your intuition. The only type person I would have a difficult time teaching to reawaken their intuition would be someone who has what I call rebellious teenager syndrome. And that's the syndrome of, it's a sub-personality that says, you can't make me. I'm a hard case, and you can't make me. There's even people who like to go to alternative healers, but just to get another notch on their belt to say, oh, they couldn't help me either. I'm just impossible. So someone who has a real severe case of the rebellious teenager syndrome would have a hard time simply because, guess what? They need a treatment first for the rebellious teenager syndrome, which all of us have to a certain degree about certain areas of our life. I know I'm going off in another direction just a little bit, but I feel this will be very interesting to the listeners.
I think so, too, and I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, if you think about it, sometimes even your level of success can be attributed to rebellious teenager syndrome because that small sub-personality part of you can be saying, well, I'm not going to conform to what everybody thinks should be successful. I'm not going to be the man, so to speak. So that's just a syndrome. As a matter of fact, I'm about to come up with a whole treatment just for that because I'm realizing it could be a huge detriment to moving forward on your spiritual path, on your financial successful path, on your intuitive path, if you have this little sub-personality part of you that just says, well, I'm a hard case. It's impossible. I can't do it. Because what it is in actuality, Aurora, is just a big, fat excuse, something to hide behind that we're not aware of. Here's what I find. 99.9.9.9.99999% of people are wonderful, 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 wonderful. And no one consciously doesn't really move forward on their spiritual path. No one consciously doesn't really move forward on their intuitive path. No one consciously chooses not to move forward on their success in life path, success in relationship path. It's always some unconscious part of ourselves that causes that to be. Now, developing your intuition can give you a lot of insight into what unconscious part of myself could be sabotaging my success. So it all fits together like a wonderful puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of answers who can. Every person can, unless they have that real strong syndrome, and then they could just receive a treatment for rebellious teenager syndrome. As a matter of fact, if we have time at the end of the show, we'll give a little treatment and just give people a little insight onto how their own rebellious teenager could be sabotaging themselves. So we'll see if we have time for that.
That would be wonderful.
Now, yeah, I forgot what the second question was. There were two wrapped up into that.
How did people develop greater intuition?
That's my specialty. I have all kind of methods that help to increase connection between the right and left hemispheres of the brain. So these are actually logical exercises that can be done, and I give some instructions for them on my website at easyintuition.com. But there are logical things that can be done, and left brain people love this because they say, oh, you mean I don't have to be all spiritual? I can increase my intuition from where I am? Well, of course you can increase your intuition from where you are. What good would it do if I had a bunch of methods to teach you, but you already needed to be fully awakened spiritually? That would be just ridiculous. So I have methods that work with awakening the right side of the brain and getting the information over to the left. Why is that important, you might say? Well, most spiritual intuitive information comes through the right side of the brain. And there are actually four quadrants of the brain, but we're going to focus on the basic two halves, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere. There's only one way for information to move from one side to the other, and that side, that way, is called the corpus callosum. This is a thick bundle of nerves that connects the right and left hemispheres of the brain. I used to say separates, and spirit gently corrected me. No, Rebecca, it connects the right and left hemispheres of the brain. My methods concentrate on using exercises that actually create new neural pathways between the right and left hemispheres of the brain. Now, if you have all this spiritual knowledge in the right side of your brain, why would it be important to get it over to the left side? Well, the left side houses your speech centers. So how could you do anything about this knowledge you have if you have no way to bring it into physicality? So doesn't this just make a whole lot of sense on a very practical level, Aurora?
Yes, definitely.
Yes. So one of the easiest methods, and I tell people in my classes, if you do this exercise every single day for 30 days, you could practically hang up your shingle as a psychic. This is how effective this exercise is. What is the exercise? I'm sure you're dying to know. You want to do it right now, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
This exercise is called non-dominant handwriting. I learned about it from Dr. Lucia Capicchione, who's written about 13 books in the self-help field. One of her most famous back in the 70s was Recovery of Your Inner Child. The thing all her books have in common is journaling with the dominant hand and the non-dominant hand. Here's how you would do it, Aurora. You would ask a question with your dominant hand. Now, which one is that? That's the one you always write with. Mm-hmm. It's the one you write checks with, if any of us still write checks. The dominant hand is the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You would ask a question with your dominant hand, and then you switch the pen, and something magical happens in the switching process. The non-dominant hand is just hardwired to the right side of the brain. It's just gonna happen. Now, here's some guidelines. When you ask a question with the dominant hand, I don't advise you asking, what stock should I buy? Let's not get into fortune telling. Let's start establishing some new neural pathways between the right and left hand sides of the brain. So you would ask, I love talking to my angels. As a matter of fact, the book, 30 Angel Steps to Prosperity, which I give away free on my website, easyintuition.com, it has daily instructions. I suggest you use this method to talk to your angels. This is a spiritual show about frequency, so people should be okay with communicating with their angels. And I suggest you ask a sweet question with your dominant hand, like, dear angels, do you have a message of love for me today? And then switch the pen, and you're going to write whatever spontaneously comes through. Now, here's something to note. This is not the same thing as automatic handwriting, which there is a thing called automatic handwriting. A spirit will not come out of the blue and grab your hand and start moving it. No, this is your own innate wisdom that you're inviting to flow through the right side of your brain. And you will be so amazed at the kind of wisdom that comes through, the sweetness of the angel messages. And you can address, we could even address our rebellious teenager using this method. Dear rebellious teenager, what's up with you? Why are you trying to sabotage me? And switch the pen, and your rebellious teenager will talk with you. So this is one of the easiest ways to increase your intuition. Now, I've been doing it many, many years. And within a month of me doing it, and when I say, Aurora, within a month of me doing it, I mean that I did it every day. And I didn't just ask one question. I started a conversation either with my angels, my inner wisdom, a subpersonality. I was in a year-long course of study with Dr. Lucia Capchione, and she required that you do these exercises. Uh-huh. Within a month, Aurora, I was talking to dead people. I mean, they were coming through loud and clear. I became a medium for a while because it was easy as pie. And mm-hmm. I never had a psychic bone in my body. And I'm talking at the age of 40 years old, Aurora.
Oh. That's amazing.
Oh, it is so amazing. In 30 days, within a year of doing this, something else amazing happened to me. Mm-hmm. I became artistic. Not autistic now, artistic. I had never held a paintbrush in my hand in my life. And I took a little craft paint-along class at Hobby Lobby or somewhere, and it's as if I was possessed with the smell of the oil paints. I couldn't sleep that first night. It was like reawakening past life memories. And I decided not just to become an artist, but to become an artist of the most difficult form there is, which is the human face. Within a year, I was painting portraits and charging $1,000 a piece for them and had people lined up to pay me. That is how much this simple exercise increases not only your intuition, but your creativity. If I could choose just one exercise to tell people to do, it would absolutely, without a doubt, be do the dominant, non-dominant handwriting and do it every day. If you do it once after listening to this program and go, oh, I didn't feel much of anything, or one of the biggest detriments, Aurora, to people continuing is that the inner critic comes out, and the inner critic says, oh, this is stupid. The biggest thing the inner critic says is, nobody can read what you've written. Well, guess what? It's not for anyone else to read anyway. It's for your learning. But even though I consider myself to be very psychic now, and I channel angels, Divine Mother, I teach classes on mediumship. I teach other people how to be what I call missionaries to the other side. I teach people how to talk to animals. I still do it almost every single day. Why would I leave such a tool laying on the shelf when it's just going to increase my level of awareness?
Well, it sounds like it increases everything in your life, all of your creativity in every part of your life, and career and home and family.
Yes, it really does. It really does. So the other method that I also recommend is using heart point technique. Now,
tell us what that is now.
Okay, heart point technique is the healing modality that was given to us from the Divine Feminine. And the more I read other books and come across information, the more impressed I am with how Divine Mother asked me to use this modality. The way it works, Aurora, is you simply run light. You bring in divine light. And if you could imagine that there is a chakra above your crown called the higher self point. Some people call it the celestial soul. Some people call it the higher self. But it's a gateway to all dimensions. So if you could imagine that you can call any kind of divine light that you desire into your higher self point. When I'm working with clients or groups, I usually call the divine light of revelation, because we're usually looking for some kind of wisdom or revelation about a problem, the source of a problem, what we can do about a problem. Because, you know, Aurora, most people don't come to a spiritual healer who don't have even one problem. They usually have lots of problems when they come.
Right.
So, yes. So you would bring that light in through the crown, and I just like to imagine the light is thick and slow, like beautiful golden honey, into the crown. If you could imagine your crown just opens up, and this beautiful light just slowly permeates, guess what? The corpus callosum. This alone makes the corpus callosum more permeable. Why is that important? So the information can bounce back and forth far easily, so you can be a more balanced individual. Then I send the light back to the pineal gland, slowly forward to caress the hypothalamus, and then the pituitary gland. And there's all kind of acupressure points around your eyes. There's the third eye, which of course is not really an acupressure point. It's right in the middle of your forehead. And then there's the beginning of the eyebrow is a point. At the very end of your eyebrow is an acupressure point. Underneath your eye in that little hollow is another point. And then one of the most important acupressure points on your whole body is that area right at the inside corner of your eye. If you could imagine about an eighth of an inch above the tear duct on either side, this is where every meridian in the body enters the brain. So you can add an extra charge to heart point technique by simply placing your hands across your eyes as if you were saying, oh no, I can't look. This just gives an electrical charge from your hands. However, it's not really necessary. If you just imagine this divine light is going around these points, caressing each point, and then moving down your throat and into the hidden chambers of the heart. Because, beloved, everything you ever wanted to know, everything you need for your life is already written on the walls of your heart, the blueprint of your life, and every possible path that you might choose is hidden in the walls of your heart. So when you send this divine light of revelation through all these points and you're just allowing the divine light of revelation to nourish you and nurture you and into the hidden wisdom of the heart, whatever it is you're trying to find out will always come up to the light. It just does. And by the way, I also give away the complete manual for heart point technique on my website as well.
Well, you are so generous and light with people, and I really appreciate the parts of you that are so giving and so intelligent and wise and wanting to share information with everyone. There's no holding back. You're just totally giving forth to people, and like on this call today, where you're giving the listeners these opportunities to do these techniques right now. They don't have to go anywhere to do them. You're showing them how to do them right now. And I just think you're wonderful in your generosity.
Well, thank you. It is fun to give. And guess what? It is also fun to receive. Now, I receive a lot of joy from my giving. However, I also do classes for a fee as well as for no fee. And I feel part of my mission on earth is to encourage other healers to be okay with being compensated in a monetary way for sharing your gifts. Because I guarantee you this, most of us in the healing arts have spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in our getting trained and our certifications, in our life experiences. I know personally I've spent many more thousands on my trainings and my going to get trained and studying with masters than most people have spent on a PhD. So, it's also okay, yes, which is another whole show we could do on helping healers get okay with being, Mother is whispering to me right now, you could call it recompensated, because they already compensated out the yazoo to be recompensated for all the time, money, and effort they've spent on their training. And it's not just time and money. To be a truly loving, giving healer, Aurora, you know this because you do things from the heart. You have to have the heart for it. You have to feel that joy of giving. Like once I was talking with Mother Teresa, and this is, of course, after she crossed over. I didn't know her in this lifetime. And I met Mother Teresa energetically because this first year I was doing the non-dominant handwriting and I wanted to do portraits. I wanted to learn how to do wrinkles. Well, the most wrinkled person I knew was Mother Teresa, so I went to the library and got a bunch of books with her pictures in them so I could study them, and I had never taken a look at her life, and I sat there in the public library crying my eyes out at the heart of this woman. And I began to channel her, and I have whole volumes where I channeled her. And I said, Mother, how could you go out into the street with your bare hands and pick up those people who were dying, who were had maggots in their wounds? How could you pick them up yourself and bring them in and bathe them yourself? How could you make yourself do it? She said, Rebecca, it brought me joy because it was my soul's longing to do that. Because, beloveds, when you tune in to your soul's longing and you follow your soul's longing, you never work. You never make yourself do anything. When you follow your healing path, and it is your soul's longing, it is the greatest joy that your beingness can ever experience.
Well, I really understand the importance of light workers being financially compensated for their work, and also I understand the joy that we receive from helping someone. And I'm always asking when I'm doing a session with someone, what does this child of God need? And they always receive what it is that they need. And I don't know what it is in the moment. I allow the session to take its own flow and let the person receive what they need. And it always comes to me, and they always are happy with what they have gotten from the session. And the joy of that person, and I received the joy of being able to be there for them at that time. I wanted to ask you, I have other questions about your classes, but I wanted to ask you, when does the person develop their intuition, like little children, or is it better to develop later in life or when we're young, or what, does it actually make a difference?
Well, I actually think it does. We are born with intuition. There's no doubt about that. And we start shutting it down. A good friend of mine used to see fairies and play with fairies, and when she would tell her mother would slap her face. So she shut that gift down completely, and she's 50 years old and can't see a fairy, even though she knows that she did and she wants to so bad. She doesn't have the ability to reopen that channel. So as children, we are highly intuitive. We've all known children who speak with an imaginary friend or something like that. Now, here's what can happen if you have so much psychic ability as a child. You can grow frightened of it and shut it down, or it can be shut down for you in the case such as my friend. Here's what I think is wonderful about choosing to open your intuition as an adult, because you're in so much control of it. When you're a little kid and, say, dead people start talking to you, it can scare the pants off you.
Right.
But when you're an adult and you choose to develop this gift, and the way I teach people in my mediumship class, you don't open the door for every Tom, Dick, and Harry dead person to come talk to you. You call the specific one that you want you and your client to work with. It's so much to me of an empowering thing to choose as an adult. I choose to develop my intuition now, and I choose to develop it in the area that my soul longs for. For instance, one course I teach is how to communicate with animals. This includes pets, animals in the wild, sea creatures. Well, what if you loved animals and it was your heart's longing to communicate with animals? You get to choose. Wow, I want to develop my intuition in this area. Or what if you did want to be, I call it a missionary to the other side, because the way I teach mediumship is to connect two parties who want to communicate, not to be the big guru. I'm the medium, you must come to me. I teach my students how to connect two souls together and let them do the communicating, and they just gently guide it. It's fabulous. Say you had a heart's longing for that. You could develop it. Mm-hmm. Now, the next class I have coming up, I will be teaching. I've taught this before, but it's time to teach it again. People who want to learn how to channel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here again, I teach you how to select who you want to channel. Do you want to channel Mother Mary? Do you want to channel Jesus? Do you want to channel the Archangel Gabriel? Do you want to channel a Sufi saint? Who do you want to channel? It's coming from a place of empowerment when you're an adult and you realize, I have spiritual authority. That's another thing, of course, we have to talk about. You have spiritual authority to learn how to do anything that you want to do spiritually. Now, here's where your part comes in. You must have commitment and you must do the work. You can't just sign up for a class, learn to channel, never show up or show up once or twice and not do the work. You must be committed. And as an adult, that's something you should have going on. You should be ready to make a commitment to something that you want to do. The last time... Yes?
I was going to ask... it's like building relationship. You build relationships on this side. If you wanted to channel someone, you choose someone that you sort of feel like you have a rapport with and build a relationship with that being, and you would have a continuing relationship. You wouldn't just say hello once a year and then let it go.
Yes, you could do that. You can also choose if you want to do a specific being. Here's what I believe. The beings that come into your awareness that you would love to channel, they're already tapping you on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of the last to know. So, and once the word gets around that you know how to do it and you will do it, there are many high beings of light who have very urgent messages for humanity. Guess what? Their hands are tied. If there's not some willing human who will say, oh, I'll pass the message, and it takes balls the size of Texas, which is another class I teach, how to have balls the size of Texas. You need to have big balls to pass a message from Sanat Kamara. Or if Jesus says, oh, by the way, let me tell you about some of my lives I had before I was the Christ, and you say, you know, Jesus, people are going to throw rotten tomatoes at me, right? So it takes a mature person to really want to be a messenger. Now, just to make everybody feel better, everyone who receives messages is not called to be a big-time messenger in the world. You might be called to just write down the messages and put them out there energetically.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is in your heart is where you need to be and where you can serve best. And it's so important not to get our eyes on someone else's gifts and the way they use them and say, oh, if only I could do it like they do it. Because, beloved, the only way for you to do anything is the way you do it, and that's the perfect way. One of the most important jobs that a light worker could have, and it's only a few who have this calling, and God bless them, is to sit and hold silent, sacred, holy space, energy that helps to balance the chaos and the chaotic energy that's swirling around in humanity. My mother had that calling. She would sit for hours and simply hold silent space, being in the stillness.
That takes a true peacemaker.
It really does, and it's so important. And it's so important for each one of us to start tuning into our heart's desires and where our heart is calling us to, because nobody can do our soul purpose except for us. And you say, well, how do I know what is my soul purpose? I'm going to give you a real quick 1, 2, 3. It's what's red hot in your heart right now. You don't have just one soul purpose. You might come in with a theme such as, my theme is teacher, my theme is healer, my theme is activist. But your soul purpose changes as your soul evolves. And whatever is red hot in your heart right now, and you might say, but Rebecca, something silly like, I want to learn how to play the guitar. Go for it. You don't know where it's leading. Don't question your heart's desires. Follow them. So we've gotten a little off topic, Aurora.
It's all on the same topic. I'm loving all that you're saying. It's so important to pay attention to those small messages we get, and sometimes they just go away. And they're so light that we don't catch them. And then sometimes we actually catch them, and then we will say, oh, well, I won't do that now, and just kind of brush it off. But I have found that it is so important to listen to those messages that we get in a very light manner. And we can get in a lot of trouble when we don't.
Sometimes we have to get a bigger nudge that might not be as pleasant.
Right.
An example. We will have to finish this discussion another time, Aurora.
Yes, so I want to thank you so much for being here. I'm sorry that we are running out of time. Would you please say your website again so people can look at what you have to offer? And your classes are wonderful. I can attest to that from my own experience with you. So please say your website again.
Well, the easiest one to remember is easyintuition.com, and you can go to any class or anything I have from there, easyintuition.com.
Easyintuition.com. Mm-hmm. Well, that's so great. I'm so thankful to you for coming today and being with us, and I'm inviting you to come back, and I want to know what else you're doing, and I know our listeners are wanting to be keeping up with you and want to hear you come back and speak with us again. And thank you again so very much, Rebecca.
It's my pleasure, Aurora.
What a wonderful class, learning an easy and a successful method to engage our intuition. Thank you, Rebecca. You will enjoy being here on April the 2nd when our guest speaker is Laura Lysak of the Kuan Yin Center in Sedona. Laura channels the exquisite Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin wants to discuss and experience the power of enlightened support. Kuan Yin says we're going to have a lot of fun and open portals of enlightenment in each person. This is a powerful, tangible, physical experience of enlightened support. Each listener's body will ground this power and accelerate new opportunities into this world. We are going to change our experience in this power. Each program in the first part of the show, I will be doing the toning, and I'm trusting that you're relaxing and taking in this energy and the waves of frequencies and receiving benefit. I have one testimony here that I'll read to you. Aurora, I love this. I use this as a meditation for myself. It was calming, relaxing, and helped me to reconnect to the deeper part of myself through your tones. Thank you for this. Just wonderful, and not to mention that my dog, who was sitting next to me, was listening too. It was calming for him as well. Well, I welcome all cats and dogs and human beings. Thank you very much, Deborah. I look forward to your presence on April the 2nd. We are all about raising our consciousness. Until then, nurture your sense of humor and love yourself. Bye-bye.